New theme music.
Welcome. Yes, this is our new theme song. I know everybody kind of really liked the old one, but, you know.
Gotta roll with the times.
Times is changing. Alrighty. So before we get started today, just want to say hi and welcome back to I'll Tell You What, a spoopy podcast. I'm Miranda.
And I'm Ashlyn.
And this week, it's taking a toll on me, Ashlyn.
Same.
It's taking a toll.
It's been rough.
It's been rough. I dropped my iPad and now it has a crack in it and I have to get it replaced and I'm very sad.
And the insurance denied my heart medication, so yes. We're both having a rough week.
Wow, way to make me sound like a petty person.
That was the joke. I'm sorry.
Get out of here, Josh. This is not your podcast. Get out of here. So, yes. But yeah, Ashlyn's insurance company is heartless, apparently. And they want her to be sicker to provide her with her heart medication. So, yeah,
it's been rough.
So there's a real problem with America's healthcare system. Just saying.
I mean, we already knew.
But still, it's a lot. But besides that, you know, it's been a week. It's Monday.
Wow, what a week.
What a week.
And things are going better at work, though.
Oh, that's
so I'm excited.
Good. That's good.
How are things at your work?
I don't know. I'm not there.
I don't know.
The gym's been going well.
Woo! Oh, yeah. Miranda's getting her gains.
Oh, yeah. That's me. Workout McGee. Okay, I'm done. So before we get started, I just wanted to remind you all to like, comment, review, do all that fun stuff you can do on all of your favorite podcasting apps, you know, whichever you may want.
And if you do leave us a 1-star review, at least leave a comment.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was going to bring that up. Someone on Apple Podcasts had the audacity to hate our podcast enough to go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 1-star review and not leave a comment.
Yeah,
and
like,
I'm mad.
I want to know why. I want to know if it's a legitimate thing.
We're more petty about the fact that you didn't leave a review. You know, they better be, you know, they probably aren't because they left us a 1-star review. They're probably like, oh, this is awful. Never coming back here.
Which, you know, fair. But tell us why.
Rude, you know,
just feedback rude. Will help us
feedback
grow.
Feedback is important.
So, yeah, if you guys do hate our podcasts, at me instead of Miranda, because I'm not sure she can handle that much rejection right now.
I can't. I can never handle that kind of rejection, though. So it's fine. I'll get used to it. Anywho, Ashlyn, I'll tell you what.
What are you gonna tell me?
The Haunted St. Augustine Lighthouse.
Cool.
Ooh. So, St. Augustine is located on the Atlantic coast of northeastern Florida. It was founded on September 8th, 1565 by Spanish explorers.
So that was like a couple decades ago, at least.
That was like way before America was America.
I know.
Be cool. It is the oldest continuously inhabited European established settlement in the United States proper. Oh. Apparently San Juan was settled just a bit earlier, but this one is, once again, U.S. proper.
Yes.
And, you know, a city that old holds many secrets. And many people say St. Augustine, Florida is one of the most haunted cities in the world.
Would not surprise me.
So let us dive in. Located in St. Augustine, Florida, the St. Augustine Lighthouse was completed in 1874. Now, the construction of the lighthouse began in 1871. It took over 3 years to complete.
Well, yeah, but they also didn't have any of the big machines that we do.
Well, also, however, I guess take your time because the building still stands today.
Oh, nice.
Well, not the original one. They had to rebuild it at one point, but we get into that later.
Aw.
The lighthouse stands about 165 feet above sea level. The lighthouse keeper had to climb 219 steps to access the top of the tower. And in 1876, a lighthouse keeper's home was finally built for those who were keeping the lighthouse and their families to live in. The lighthouse is also the oldest brick structure in St. Augustine, Florida to this day. But a structure that old must have some unfathomable mysteries residing within its walls. And that is what we're here today to discuss.
Yes. Sorry, I was still caught up on the stairs.
It's a lot of stairs.
I was like, you could have died.
Go to your gym and go on the stair climber and try to climb 219 stairs to do your job every day.
Miranda, don't tell them that you're going to kill people.
Oof. Oof. You'll all be as in shape as a fireman, you know. They have to climb like a lot of stairs. So, let's see. I lost my place.
Sorry.
You're fine. Many people with insatiable curiosity of the paranormal flock to the lighthouse every year to revel in its mysterious inhabitants. Many guests have reported hearing young girls giggling in the woods at night, shadowy figure in the basement, the smell of cigar smoke, and a man atop the structure where no guests can go.
So, you know, some cornerstones of, you know, hauntings.
Exactly. Very staple hauntings here. Yeah. So, our specters. One of the lighthouse first keepers was named Peter Rasmussen. Rasmussen. We'll go with that. Peter Rasmussen. Staying in the position for over 23 years. He was known for his strict, meticulous eye and watchful manner over maintaining the lighthouse. He was also known for his love of cigars and is one of the first ghosts that people report coming in contact with.
Wait, so he smoked cigars and was still able to climb all those stairs? I'm mad at him.
Over the years, the smell of Peter's cigar has been detected by many, including staff members and guests. Some say that they also hear footsteps on the tower stairs. But these incidences are attributed to the dutiful keeper from long ago. So next, some interesting advancements occur.
Ooh.
At one point, the lighthouse had been darkened and was no longer functioning as a lighthouse. But during the Civil War, on June 1st, 1867, not 76, 1867, the old Spanish watchtower once more became a functioning lighthouse with the return of its light. Oh. Unfortunately, it soon became clear that the structure would soon lose the battle with Mother Nature. And as the sea continued to erode the land away around the lighthouse. So the lighthouse was quite literally falling into the sea.
That sounds poetic.
So they were like, we should probably build a new lighthouse. And after several reports to the United States Lighthouse Board, they were like, please give us a new lighthouse because this one is falling into the sea. And after several times they asked this, they finally got the money. And the United States Lighthouse Board, referencing the erosion and encroaching seas, Congress approved the money for a new St. Augustine Lighthouse Tower. Okay. And the construction of this tower began in 1871. But very soon became tragic.
Oof.
At the time, the superintendent of lighthouse construction was Hezekiah Pitié is hard to say. Hezekiah Pitié had three daughters.
Mm-hmm. Like you do.
Three daughters and a son. His daughters were Mary Adelaide, Eliza, Edward, and Carrie was the youngest daughter. And they had all moved to St. Augustine from Maine for the job. Well, just as children do, and as we did as children as well, they turned the construction site into their own little playground and would even invite the children of workers to play with them. And what I was referencing is that when we used to go to my father's job sites growing up, we would just run around and play
because
we're weird children.
Either that or we'd clean.
Yeah.
We did a lot of cleanup on construction sites as children, too.
So fun. So at the time, there was a railway cart that moved supplies from supply ships docked at the Salt Run up to the building site. So riding these carts was a favorite pastime of the children. They basically used the carts as a Victorian-era roller coaster. Ooh, riding the cart to the water, then bringing it back up to the job site just to ride it again. There was only a wooden board at the end of the rail that stopped the cart from tipping into the water. So you could probably see where this is going.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Well,
can't say anything.
On July 10th, 1873, the three Pitier sisters, 15-year-old Mary, 13-year-old Eliza, and 4-year-old Carrie, and a unknown African-American girl who was said to be around 10 years old were riding in the cart as normal. Unfortunately, the wooden board that was made to stop the cart was not in place as it should have been. Because of this, the cart carrying the girls flipped into the sea and trapped the girls underneath it. A Mr. Dan Sessions, who was a young African-American worker at the time, witnessed the tragic event and raced into the water. When he reached the cart, he used all of his strength and lifted the cart from atop the girls. Unfortunately, by this time, three of the four girls had drowned. The only survivor was the youngest, Carrie.
Oh, my gosh.
So in the days after the accident, the construction site, as well as the town, shut down for the funeral of the girls. Following the funeral, the Pitié family returned to Maine to lay their daughters to rest in their hometown. Apparently, staff researchers at the St. Augustine Lighthouse Museum have not yet been able to find the final resting place of the young African-American girl, but they are trying. However, in the roughly 145 years since the tragedy, a lot of strange occurrences have happened around the lighthouse, which are attributed to the girls. Visitors and lighthouse workers have reported hearing girls giggling in the woods behind the watchtower. Others claim they've witnessed what looks like a 4 feet tall figures peeking around corners. Others have spotted Eliza floating about the grounds wearing the same blue dress she had died in. And there are a few very specific tales of these child spirits as well. So I'll tell you a few stories.
Oh, please do.
One story from the 1950s involves a relief lighthouse keeper who was living in the home. He reported hearing footsteps upstairs. When he went to investigate, no one was there. Around the same time, the head keeper was named James Pippin. He served from 1953 to 1955, and he was the last keeper to live at the light station. Pippin initially lived in the keeper's house, as all previous keepers had done. But he moved to a much smaller coastal lookout building from 1941, like a much smaller, sadder little building, because he swore that the, quote, big house was haunted and he would not stay in it another night. So another story comes from the 1960s, when a local man who crafted leather goods rented the property. He tells the story of waking up one night with a small girl standing by his bed. As he blinked his eyes to look at her, she disappeared.
Creepy.
Next.
Granted, I've woken up to that too, but at least I knew this one was alive.
Right. So in 1970, the lighthouse keeper's house mysteriously burned to the ground after standing empty for many years. The building was added to the National Register of Historic Places, and so they actually began renovating and rebuilding the building.
Whoa.
During the renovation, both construction workers and the JSL volunteers reported numerous unexplained incidents in the home. The basement was a particularly active area for ghost encounters, being the only part of the home that had not completely burned. Perhaps the children like to play here. Today, you can apparently still feel the spooky presence there. More recently, a psychic who visited the museum and home claimed that the young African-American girl's name was actually Ellie or Eleanor. However, the museum and research staff are still working on confirming that statement.
Yeah.
Because they can't say it. So they're very honest about it.
Back then, especially for African-Americans.
Yeah. Exactly.
Is
so according to many employees the girls sometimes like to play hide and seek around the tower. One night in the dark lighthouse tower, a lone staff member was closing up for the night when he heard giggling at the top of the tower, thinking that he had left someone on
Yeah,
you on top sure of the tower, he returned. He returned to the top to find it empty. As he began to head back down the tower, he heard the same giggling below him. So he descended once again to the bottom, where he found no one. Again. So they were just kind of like, I'm going to make you climb up another stairs.
That's super fun.
Yeah.
That's super zesty.
Another time, a tour guide found a group of young women in the basement of the keeper's home. Apparently, one of the young women had rented an EMF reader to measure the electrical activity caused by spirits.
Mm-hmm.
The young woman holding the meter asked the girls if they wanted to play hide and seek. The meter spiked. The woman wandered the basement searching for the hiding girls. And finally, finding meter activity under the spiral staircase leading to the main floor. Excitedly, she said she found them and asked them if they wanted to play again. And like before, the meter spiked. Once again, the young woman searched the basement for the girls and several minutes later found electrical energy near the children's play table. It was around that time that another set of guests came into the basement and the energy dissipated, reportedly. So apparently the girls sometimes appear in fully formed apparitions as well.
I gotta do my research on EMF readers though, because I'm like, why? Like, how do you know they tell where ghosts are, you know?
I don't know, because apparently spirits have, you know, like electromagnetic field around them or some weird thing like that. Anywho, apparently the girls also sometimes appear in full-formed apparitions. Once during the day, a guest was exploring the maritime hammock trails when they came upon a young girl in a Victorian outfit sitting on a bench reading a book. Well, as they began to ask the girl a question, another group came up from the opposite direction. The guest was distracted by the group and looked away for only a moment. When she turned back to see the little girl, she was gone.
Bum, bum, bum.
In a similar instance, a woman on a ghost tour approached another woman to compliment her on her daughter's behavior on the tour. The woman was confused and said she didn't have a daughter. She was like, I don't have a kid. No. And the other one was like, but that little girl's been standing next to you the entire evening. And according to employees, there were no children on the tour that night.
Bum, bum, bum. I'm sorry, that was kind of funny.
I know. She's like, I don't have a kid.
It's like, you know, the awkward twist at the end of, you know, a good story.
So I got most of that information from the St. Augustine Lighthouse.org. I got it from their website.
Mm-hmm.
It was from an article that actually came out on your birthday last year.
Last year it was.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you.
Okay.
Our next friend from beyond may be the spirit of Joseph Andrew, who fell to his death while painting the outside of the tower way back in the day.
I mean, I feel like the probability of someone doing that's pretty high.
Apparently, he is seen by visitors and staff standing atop the outside of the lighthouse where no guests could wander.
Ah.
And some guests or employees have also seen him fall, but when they rush to investigate, there's no one there.
So he's the spoop.
Yeah. I'm sure there's many, many different actual encounters that individuals have experienced, but this is all I gathered for now. However, I did gather some other odd events that have happened. Staff members reportedly say that they lock the door at the top of the tower each night before leaving, yet the door is often open in the morning when they arrive for work.
See, that would creep me out for multiple reasons, and it's not really supernatural reasons.
Who's in here?
I'm like, please don't murder me.
Right? Staff have also reported that chairs have been moved or overturned, and that various items in the gift shop were moved or missing, only to reappear later.
Oh, good. So they're not kleptomaniac ghosts.
Yeah, they take it and then they give it back. They're like, it's missing. Again. Ooh, where'd it go? Ooh, there it is.
What you got behind your ear? Anyway.
Ooh, ooh. So some say while touring the lighthouse keeper's quarters, they feel cold and that the figure of a tall man has appeared before them and then disappeared. Some staff and guests have also reported their arms and ankles being grabbed by nothing.
Yeah, I don't like that one. I would prefer that to not happen.
Don't touch me. I don't like being touched ever. But especially if you're a ghost, just
especially if you're cold too. Like, yeah, I'm Josh. Sorry. I'm not.
Don't touch me if you're cold.
I'm not pro someone with cold hands touching me.
So don't touch me if you're cold.
It sends too much of a shock to the body. Can't like do it.
So just a little in the media moment. The lighthouse has appeared in several paranormal TV shows, including Ghost Hunters, My Ghost Story, and Most Terrifying Places in America. And the St. Augustine Lighthouse has also been covered by my boys at BuzzFeed Unsolved.
Arguably the best paranormal investigation. It really
is. That is the best paranormal investigation show. You should all watch it.
It's a hoot.
In conclusion, I wonder if they can hear the screaming child from upstairs. Our niece, I love our niece, but she has a lot of attitude.
She's 5 going on 15.
Yeah, it's true. She's just got a lot of attitude. And if you give her the girl any sugar, it's just through the roof. We don't know what it is about sugar, but it makes her nasty. Like, she's like, I have at the other day. Okay, we'll get to this in a second. Okay. In conclusion, what do you think? Is the lighthouse really haunted, or are people just, you know, following it for the clout?
I mean, some of it might be. I mean, we discuss that fairly often on this show.
Like, is it real, or is it just, you know, people believing it?
I'd be interested in, you know, going finding out. Yeah, a little
I think
bit.
If
not,
I had more personal, like, stories from modern people, mm-hmm. probably, you know, from people saying, oh, this happened and that happened, like very detailed stories or something, I could make a better assumption of whether or not people are just, like, making it up for whatever. Right.
See, that's the interesting thing. But, you never really know who's making these claims, like if they have a history of making claims like that or what. Yeah.
But apparently St. Augustine, Florida is like, is considered one of the most haunted places in America.
Fun. Like,
because, I mean, it's super old, first of all. Mm-hmm. There's also a prison there that I want to talk about sometime. That's very interesting. And there's a couple other haunted places there.
Oh, goodness. You should talk about the Missouri State Penitentiary at some point. Because
there's
also
a lot
really,
of haunted prisons.
That's really haunted.
And maybe I'll do like a collaboration episode or something where I talk about a bunch of them if they're too short or something. Mm-hmm. But I highly doubt it because a lot of these prisons have like a lot of stuff. But
a lot of older buildings though, do have that.
Well, and really
history.
Old places in general, just old locations, old cities and stuff. Anywhere with a lot of history is going to have some kind of spiritual activity. I do believe in ghosts. I think they're real. Do I think they're going to hurt us? No. A lot of the times I think a lot of ghostly happenings are residual energy kind of thing. Basically it's like the concept of the ghost repeating what they were doing, like what they did every day or what they did right before they died or something like that.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
And I like to think about it more that way rather than them being like a sentient
spirit,
like the little girls playing hide and go seek. Don't like that. I don't want that. Do I want to see them careening down the hill in the tramp? No.
Absolutely
not. I don't
want
to see that either, but I also don't want to play hide and go seek with the ghosties.
I mean, meh. It depends. It depends on the kind of vibe they give off, honestly.
Uncomfy, okay?
I could be down.
Okay, so
I could be down for hanging out with child ghosts.
Besides that, let's get back to talking about our niece's attitude.
For a different reason.
A little life update for you. So the other day, she gets home from school and I go upstairs for 5 seconds and I walk past her and I look at her. I just look at her and she looks at me and she has this grumpy looking look on her face. Just no smile or anything, like such attitude. And she just looks at me and she goes, I'm hungry. Just like that. And I just looked at her and she goes, I'm hungry. More aggressive.
That's nice.
And I was like, staring at her and she goes, I want food. And I said, okay, what do you want me to do about it? And she just suddenly turns and goes, would you please get me some food?
Yeah.
And I was like, it's okay. So clearly you knew you needed to say please the whole time. But like, it was such creepy, like scary attitude, like aggressive attitude. And then I went, what do you want me to do about that? And then suddenly turns on a dime to sweet darling little angel, can you please give me some
she was
food?
Pulling something like that, like she was acting like it was the end of the world when mom was in the middle of making them dinner.
Oh yeah
and our mom, not her mom, you know, grandma,
her
I guess.
Grandma.
So she was in the middle of making dinner and she was asked And the kid was asking, you know, for a snack. She's like, I want a snack. I want a snack. And we're like, we'll have dinner on the table in like 5 minutes. It's like, no. Like, yeah, she like.
Girl wants food all the time. However,
absolutely
she's skinny, okay? Like, girl can eat, but she's still skinny. It's not like we're overfeeding this child. And I have to say that before I say what I'm about to say.
Uh-huh.
Recently, every time she's been like getting really grumpy or throwing fits, I just go, like, if she will not calm down, I go, do you need a snack? Are you hungry? I go, are you hangry? And she goes, yeah.
And then I give her a snack. She gets hangry like you. Like, good lord.
I give her a snack. She's fine.
Miranda gets mean when she's hangry.
I do.
So, like, I see a lot of our niece in that.
Have you met you when you get hangry? God. You're worse. You don't even know how bad you are. You're like.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you don't even know.
Debatable.
Ashlyn's a scary, scary woman.
No.
I'm a saint, comparatively. Excuse you. Why are you laughing? I don't understand why you're laughing right now, Ashlyn.
First Gush. Of all, neither of us make the other one look good. I'm sorry.
I am amazing.
We're both going down with this ship.
She said ship with a P.
Yes. Sorry. My enunciation is not great. And I'm tired.
But anywho, there's your little life update from us. So if you have any haunted places that you like, to go to, or you've ever been, have you ever been to St. Augustine, ooh, Florida, the lighthouse, anywhere else, let us know. You can email us at matterthanacaterpillar@gmail.com. You can also visit us on our Instagram. I'm getting back into the swing of updating that. It's just taking a minute to get back into it. My energy is all over the place at the moment. But you can go and visit us there at Madden a Caterpillar on Instagram.
And Ashlyn is sorry that she missed a week for updating episode. Sorry about that.
Yeah, sometimes we all need rest and relaxation. And we already explained the fact that the insurance company are heartless tools.
But
am I allowed to say that?
I don't know.
Well, I did.
But yeah, if you have any of your own fun little life updates that you just want to tell someone about, go ahead and just DM us or add us on Twitter at Madder Than a Cat.
Do it.
We want to know more about you. We'd love connecting with y'all.
Yeah. And that's at Twitter at Madder Than a Cat.
I said that.
I didn't recall if you actually did.
I did.
Anywho, we also have a Facebook page. You can visit it at ITYW Podcast, or I'll tell you what with a period. And we have a TikTok. That's the word. TikTok that we never update. Maybe someday we will. I'm not promising anything.
I've got some sounds that
we have lots of sounds. We have lots of sounds saved, but we have not had time, energy, or appearance for any of those.
Yeah, that's
maybe
true.
We can make some tonight. Who knows?
Maybe.
Anywho. And with that. Oh, and at TikTok it is at Madder Than a Caterpillar. And with
maybe
that.
Maybe they got something.
I leave you with this. Tell your mom.
Tell your dad.
Tell your friends.
Tell the FBI agent listening through your phone.
And tell the ghost child that lives in your closet. And good night.
I mean, the ghost child could be hiding in the closet because they're playing hide-and-go-seek, Marita.
Get out of here. I don't... Oh, what did I touch?
I don't know.
Oh, good. How do I stop this?
Is it stop button? Press the stop button.
You tell me this every time.